or 35. 35.
55 minus 20. 25 plus 10.
Okay, 35 is a short one. Thirty-six, 37, 38, 39 are all dealing with Hezekiah. And then 40 goes to like a parallel of Matthew. And that makes kind of a change in there as far as the writing technique. Okay, 35. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us now as we read your word, study your word, search through the scriptures, help us to understand them. And if there's just something you want us to believe, help us to believe it. And if there's something that we need to do different or act differently or just to rest in your great love, I just pray you'd help us to do that. Help us honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 34, that is the fiery judgment upon Edom. 35 is the restoration to Israel, the great promise to Israel. And so it's a promise about the millennium. And then some of the physical benefits that will be made evident during that time. And then chapter 36 and following, like I said, is just pretty much a narrative about Hezekiah. Okay, 35 verse 1. The entire chapter is about the regathering of Israel and the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Okay, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them Israel. Solitary place. Our best guess on that would be what is called Petra. I use Lamentations chapter 1 verse 1 as a cross reference there. That probably, let's see, how doth the city sit solitary that was full of people. Okay, the wilderness, Saudi Arabia, mostly in that area. Okay, or actually north of there, probably in Petra, the northern part. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, glad for Israel. And the desert place shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. So the earth gets born again. Jesus called this the regeneration of Matthew 19:28. And so everything starts blossoming again like it was in the Garden of Eden. Verse 2, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. Okay, the glory of Lebanon, north of Israel, that's going to be back to Israel territory. Shall be given unto it the excellency of Carmel. That's where Elijah and had his contest with the false prophets. And Sharon, they shall see, they, Israel, shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Our God as in our Father which art in heaven. Okay, they shall see the glory of the Lord. In one of the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So there has to be a time period in history where somebody's pure in heart actually sees God, sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and during that same time period, Satan cannot see Jesus Christ because he can today, he can now, he goes into heaven. But during the millennial time period, he will be thrown into hell, therefore he cannot see God because he's not pure in heart. They shall see the glory of the Lord. This is the glory of the second coming, being the great king. And his excellency, royalty, King of kings, Lord of lords. So what are the physical benefits? Verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. That's the believers in the tribulation. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. So that's verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that area. That's like going back briefly into the tribulation time period, giving encouraging words to those folks that be strong, fear not. He's telling them, be ready. Jesus Christ is coming back. God's coming back. Now notice the spoken word there. Say to them, be strong. Let's see. Do I have the cross? Yeah, Daniel. That's a good one. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel's praying. He's going on a 21-day fast there. I don't think it's a complete abstinence of food because it just says, like, putting aside pleasant bread, something like that. And he is asking the Lord for something, and it took an angel 21 days to get there, to get the answer. Either the angel got sidetracked or he went the, you know, the scenic route. I don't know what it was. I would say, as you read it, he actually got detained by an unclean spirit. Okay, and then when Daniel sees the spirit, he faints. He passes out. And then it says in 10:19 that the angel says to him, be strong, I say unto you, be strong. And then it says, he says that I got strength. Now it says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Now your words and my words encourage or discourage. Okay, and our words can mean a lot to people. The right word at the right time can do a lot for God. Okay, the wrong word at the wrong time can do a lot to wound somebody's spirit. And so I know the charismatics, they go to extreme on this. They think their spoken word is almost equal to Jesus Christ. But there is something there where you do, at times, you need to talk to yourself, and you talk to yourself out loud. This is a sign of craziness. It is also a sign of being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sometimes you'll see athletes do this. Free throw line, go up to bat. You'll see them mumbling. You'll see them saying something. They're usually telling themselves, reminding themselves to do something. You know, the right form and everything. Focus on this. Look at a certain place. You know, keep your mindset right. Okay, and so be strong. He says in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, be strong in the grace. Okay, and so we get strength from words. Okay, spoken words. So be strong, fear not, don't be afraid. And the promise here is your God, Israel's God, will come with vengeance. And that's the second coming. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an harp, or heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Okay, great promises. And the parched ground shall become a pool. What parched ground? Okay, remember that in the tribulation there's going to be a 3.5-year drought. Okay, James 5, 17, 18, the story illustrated there is Elijah praying that it would not rain for 3.5 years. God answered his prayer. I don't know if that means exactly 3.5 total years or it's just a lack of rain during the growing season. Okay, it's like the drought that, the lack of rain that Joseph prophesied, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. That was a drought of bread. That was a drought of corn, wheat, probably not rice, but things that you can make bread out of, oats. Okay, because remember that Joseph's family, when they went down there, they brought all this fruit and all these nuts. Why? Because the trees get deeper roots. So if you have a drought of grain, all you have to do is just not get rain for 2 months in there. 2 months at the most prime time, and you get a drought. So whether it's 3.5 years or whatever, he said that during the tribulation time, it is going to lack rain. And then one of the promises or one of the signs that everything's all done, it says in Joel chapter 2 that they're going to get the former and the latter rain in the first month. So the earth is going to be replenished with all this water at the beginning of the millennium. Okay, so this is why he mentions in the context here, the parched ground shall become a pool. They're going to get that rain. And the thirsty land springs of water in the habitation of dragons. Now, the previous chapter is a place where dragons are, but that portion is going to be turned into a burning pitch. So this here must be up north, a little further north of it, where this location is going to be where the ground is replenished. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, and shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. And a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Okay, Hebrews 12:15-14, it's the promise there is without holiness you're not going to see God. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Remember Hebrews written to the Jews in the trib? Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Now this highway. Verse 8, and a highway shall be there. Probably the king was commonly known in the Old Testament to be the king's highway. And this highway where the Lord would come down on Mount Sinai and then come up the king's highway and then go into the Armageddon in that area and then execute his vengeance. Okay, this highway is called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the way-faring man. Though fools shall not err therein. The way-faring man, the guy wandering out, trying to, survive the tribulation. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Okay, promise of the second coming. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The sorrow and sighing that flees away will be from the tribulation time period. So it's chapter 35, 10 verses, all about the second coming, all about the restoration of Israel. The entire chapter is dealing with that. And it's written right after chapter 34 where that entire place, Edom. So you have the contrast, the Middle East fight right there. Okay, the Muslim portion, they get chapter 34. The Israelites portion, they get 35. Okay, and so right side by side. Okay, now chapter 36. A lot of this information has already been recorded once in the Bible back in 1 Kings, okay, or 2 Kings, I'm sorry. Chapter 37 is almost identical to 2 Kings 19. Not completely, but very, very close. And the reason why these things are recorded twice in the Bible is because of emphasis. When God puts things in the Bible once, twice, three, four times, it's because of emphasis. It's interesting that the feeding of the 5,000 is found in all four Gospels. The virgin birth is only mentioned in two. And the reason why that is because the feeding of the 5,000 is a picture of the second coming of Christ. That's the most important doctrine. Okay, the first coming of Christ, virgin born, yes, that's very important, but from God's perspective, The most important doctrine is the crowning, the coronation of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so that's why we'll see a lot of those things. Okay, so chapter 36. Now this is the Assyrians coming in to attack Israel, actually Judah. They have already, up until this time, conquered Israel, the 10 northern tribes. It says, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king. He's the guy that got an extra 15 years. That Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. Now look at this man's name, Sennacherib. Or you could see at the last, second half, cherub. He's a cherub, so he's a type of the Antichrist. Remember Satan? There are five cherubs originally created. Four of them left that are still saying on a regular basis, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is this come. The anointed cherub that covereth. The anointed cherub was Satan himself, not an angel. Okay? Angels don't have wings. Cherubs have wings. The anointed cherub that's over the throne of God, that was Lucifer. Okay, that's the one of the five. That when he fell, Lucifer, the anointed cherub, probably on the second day of creation, was deformed from a cherub to Leviathan, a red dragon. He appears as an angel of light, but in a natural state, he's described in Job 41. So this guy, this Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Assyria, the Assyrian. Isaiah, we've already gone through this. I think it's back in chapter 5. Nope, 10. Got to be 10. Probably 10:5. Yep, the Assyrian. 10:5. This guy is the type of the Antichrist. So there are 18 of these guys in Bible. 18 of them, that's three sixes, who typify the Antichrist. Okay, this Sennacherib, Assyria, that's modern-day Iran. Okay, or Syria. Syria and Iran. Now, Assyria was never chosen or never recognized by God to be an international power. The first international power recognized by God was Babylon, then Media-Persia, then Greece, then Rome. Okay, and the Rome, the revised Roman Empire, that's, you know, going to be part of the Antichrist kingdom. So these were internationally or in that known world, to have that known power in the known world at that time. Okay, and so he is now, has already conquered Israel. Now he's coming down further to try to get Judah, and he's getting some of the cities of Judah in verse 1. Hezekiah is the king. Now, as we read about Hezekiah, we're actually going to read how a nation, the best defense that a nation has against a military foe of another country. Verse 2, and the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. So this is the commanding officer. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool and the highway of the fuller's field. Interesting, he just writes about that. Okay, conduit, water, they're bringing water down from the mountains. Okay, and this is having running water in the town, in the city. Verse 3, then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. The recorder, that's a common word that's used in the courtrooms today. Okay, a scribe, writing things down, keeping accurate public records. This is what 1st and 2nd Chronicles entails. 1st and 2nd Chronicles would be the public records of Judah, the kings of Judah. Now notice this guy's attitude though. Verse 4, and Rabshakeh said unto them, the people who are listening to him, the ones that he's scaring with his military power and is coming in. Say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Now notice how he says that. Thus saith the great king. He's mocking, by saying that, he's mocking the prophets of the Old Testament, because what do they say? Thus saith the Lord. So he's using their terminology, and this guy knows about the religious faith of Judah. And then he asks this question, what confidence is this wherein thou trust? Who are you trusting in? I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. Now, vain words, that's what Pharaoh said about Moses. That's what Pharaoh said about Moses and the words that he was given to the Israelites about coming out of Egypt. And that right there is how people view the Bible. They view the Bible as vain words. That's how they look at them. It's a waste of time. Give out a tract, you're wasting your time. Reading your Bible, you're wasting your time. Now, when this guy is saying this about God's words, and he's mocking God's words, that's what you remind God. That's the greatest way to pray as a nation. Okay, if a nation doesn't think they're going to win the battle, here's how you do it. Hezekiah shows how to do it. He says, I say, sayest thou, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt. Okay, so this is like an ambassador sent down to Egypt. They're trying to have a coalition, trying to get some help. Okay, and you're trusting in them. He says, wherein if a man lean it will go into his hand and pierce it, so is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Don't trust in that guy. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to defeat him. But if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away? He don't fully understand the Jewish faith. No, it's not the high places of God that he took away. What are the high places? You go back and read it. The high places were Baal. This guy thought, this is like the Pope saying that a Catholic is a Christian faith. It ain't a Christian faith. That's a Baalite faith. It's a faith in Baal. But you see, this is why sometimes you'll hear the media refer to the Catholic Church Christian, you know, and then Catholic. But yeah, if you find a diehard Catholic, as I have found on occasion, I'm asking if they're a Christian, they say, I'm Catholic. I'll make sure you distinguish between the two. Okay, and one time I came across a lady and asked that question, she said, I'm Catholic. And I said, well, are you a saved Catholic or a lost Catholic? And then she got mad and slammed the door, so that didn't work. So she didn't like that one. I thought it was a good question. So he said, but if thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah hath taken away? No, it's not, pal. And said to Judah and to Jerusalem, ye shall worship before this altar. Now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to my master, king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? He's mocking them. That's what you call trash talking. And usually people talk cocky and trash talking because they believe they have the higher ground. Somebody that doesn't have the higher ground, they kind of lay low, play it cool. And so a lot of times people are that way. Verse 10, he says, and am I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said unto me, go up against this land and destroy it. Now he's saying, God's telling me to come get you. God is telling me to destroy you. This guy has mocked their faith. He has said that their God is the same God as the Baalite God. And then now he's saying that God is telling him to whoop on them. And that's what they need to remind God about. And when they remind God of what this guy's been doing, hey God, this is what this guy's been saying. Haven't you been? You've been here. You heard him. You let him get away with that? And boy, the Lord does intervene. Okay, in the next chapter, I think that's where he gets, this goes on for two chapters, and then of course the end result, God sends one angel, and he kills 185,000 soldiers in one night. Just a little, hobby that evening. And doesn't take the Lord much. Okay, verse 11. Then said Eliakim, and Shebna, and Joah unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray thee, unto thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and speak not to us in the Jews' language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. So they're saying, hey, we know that your language. Go ahead and talk to us that way. Now notice this guy gets pretty vulgar here in the next verse. And don't you know the Bible doesn't give all the words that he's probably spewing out? But Rabshakeh said, hath my master sent me to thy master and to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men that sit upon the wall that they may eat their own dung and drink their own... There you go. That's where you get that common saying, P.O. Okay, that's where that comes from. And soldiers do this. This does take place in war. And you can tell, the Bible is putting this in a pretty gentle way, and he's not putting all the X-rated words that's coming out of this guy's mouth. 13, then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language, speaking up to them in Hebrew, so they all understood it. Now, I don't know why these guys in verse 11 told them, why don't you speak in a Syrian language? Maybe it's because they understood it and not everybody else in the wall. Maybe they didn't want them to get afraid, to be afraid of the words. Now he is throwing it out at them in the Hebrew language. And he says this, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. Okay, now here's a common thing, what the world does. Okay, if a man is a good man, and that man knows God, and God is going to use that man to lead some folks, the world will say, oh, he's just deceiving them. And then the world will call his followers after his name. Okay, it's like Ruckmanites. That's the common term. They call him Ruckmanite. Okay, the idea of Lutherans. You see, that's a Catholic way of mocking people who followed Martin Luther. Oh, you're just following a man. And you're not the Pope? You see, they're saying that you're following a man, but of course they're not. They are too. Okay, Mennonites. Mennonites named after Menno Simons. Okay, and so that's what they do. They do that just to mock. Okay, and in the Bible, Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. It is not wrong to follow a man who's on the right path. It's not wrong at all. In fact, it's wise. And if people want to, you're just this and you're just that, and just like I say, and who are you following? The great educated folks, the great secular humanists, and they say that we're just a couple quarts low, that we need the Bible as a crutch in order to deal with life. Okay, and if you could talk to these people, you know how they talk. Polly want a cracker. They parrot what their teachers say in school. They parrot what Darwin said. These people don't have an original bone in their body. All they do is just keep parroting things. Remember years ago, a few years back, the Fish and Wildlife trying to, scarf up a bunch of land along the river. There was a meeting down at KV High School, and there's probably 500 people there. And the guy that got 20 minutes to tell us why, we need to take the property for people for the sake of birds, he got 20 to 30 minutes to spew out his stupidity. And all he did was parroted something that an evolutionist said. And then you sit there and you watch some of these country folks come up there, a farmer who maybe wasn't used to country or public speaking, and they would get up and take their 3 minutes or whatnot, And you will see that these men have an original thought, a thought in their head, and they're trying to portray what they're trying to say. And they were thinking for themselves, trying to defend their own land, is what they were doing. But you see, a lot of times people say this about Rush, people that listen to Rush Limbaugh. Oh, he's doing a thinking for him. Well, maybe so, maybe not, but a lot of people listen to him because they agree with him. A lot of people do. That's why they like to listen to him. Oh, now finally somebody's saying what I've been wanting to say. Now, I wish he'd say more. I wish he'd say more on the right side instead of the neocon side. But still, that beats the alternative. Okay, and so this guy is saying to those people, oh, you're just being deceived by Hezekiah. Well, Mr. Rabshakeh, you're just being deceived by Sennacherib. Who do you think you are? We all learn it. I remember one time, you know, a couple of kids down at Purdue, they asked me questions, and I show them what the Bible says. They say, you're just getting it from a book. Just getting it from a book. Can't you give me something from a book? I said, what do you use in class? Don't you use textbooks? Don't you just get it from a book? You get it from a book. I get it from a book. My book's better than your book. What's the difference? You know, and so it's all it is people who try to belittle you, degrade you, even get down to name calling or even the race card, they've run out of arguments. That's what they do. When they run out of arguments, what they do is they begin to belittle you. Ignore it. Just ignore it and just keep taking that truth and just keep hitting it with them. No matter, I mean, here we are 6,000 years from Adam. Do you think we have an original thought in our head? 6,000 years. We're all just repeating something that we've learned and something we've learned. I remember years ago I found this verse in Proverbs, you know, and I got a blessing out, and I thought, oh, man, I got something out of that verse. Man, I don't think anybody ever saw that. And at that time I had Scofield Reference Bible. And I said, man, look at that. And then I looked down at his footnote. Oh, okay. He saw that. Well, I didn't see that. Well, you know, and it was just the same teacher. The same teacher, the Spirit of God. And so, 6,000 years from Adam, there's not too much original anymore. Okay, so that's a common thing, verse 14. Let's see. We'll stop there and pick it up back there next time. It's about 10 till. Any questions or comments we covered? Yes, ma'am?